KBOO Portland.
Flashpoints. A federal judge finds conservative voting restrictions motivated by intentional racial discrimination. And we'll feature compelling excerpts from the brand new Citizen 4 film, the new documentary that chronicles the release of thousands of secret eye-popping NSA documents by whistleblower Edward Snowden. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. One very important positive story in the battle for the right to vote in the United States here in 2016. Late Friday, a federal judge ruled that major parts of the voting restrictions laws passed by the conservative legislature of Wisconsin and signed by Governor Walker between 2011 and 2014 are unconstitutional, and several constitute intentional racial discrimination against African Americans and Latino voters in Milwaukee. And joining us from that city is somebody who is a represents a group who's a plaintiff in that action, who's very close to the fight, and who's really celebrating now. Robert Craig, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Great to be with you, Dennis.
Well, it's good to have you with us. It's good that you had a victory here. Maybe it would be great if you could just take a moment and set up the context, the evolution of the passage of these draconian measures, racist measures, in the context of what many people consider a liberal state, Wisconsin.
Sure, happy to. And it's a divided state. There's a strong progressive constituency, but a very strong right-wing constituency that, with gerrymandering, has full control of the apparatus of state government. So Governor Walker and a deeply conservative state legislature were elected in 2010 in that sweep election, that surge election, and they immediately got to work on trying to restrict voting. And there's been a lot more attention to photo ID, which has been one of their tactics, but they actually did a whole range of things to try to make voting harder. And in this case, the evidence is clear. Their intention was to disenfranchise people who are more likely to vote for Democrats. So it was just a crass move for political power, and this federal judge found that in this case. And so not only did they enact photo ID with very weak kind of appeals process, where people who don't have birth certificates, like African Americans who were born in the South in the Jim Crow era, literally had no way to vote, and the process was terrible. But on top of that, they limited early voting. So there was a lot of early voting in Wisconsin, and we've been traditionally a very high turnout state, but they limited it dramatically, so it couldn't be after hours or on weekends. And it was limited to one location per municipality, which means the city of Milwaukee, which is a very large city, the largest by far in the state of Wisconsin, gets one location for early voting, and a small village or a suburb gets one location. They messed around a lot with residency requirements. They made you live a lot longer in a place in order to vote, and that was aimed at college students who they see as Democratic voters. And they also restricted the use of student IDs as photo IDs. And so there was just a whole series of different measures that were aimed specifically to limit voting. And what this, I think your listeners are aware that photo ID was upheld at first by the U.S. Supreme Court, but there are other cases moving forward from North Carolina and Texas, right, and another Wisconsin case, which put that in doubt now. What was different about our case was, and Citizen Action Wisconsin, the organization I run, was a plaintiff, a lead plaintiff, is that it looked not just at photo ID, but it went after all of the restrictions and presented evidence that this was a partisan conspiracy, that the motive was entirely to win elections. And also cited that it was a violation of the 15th Amendment. That's the amendment, the post-Civil War amendment, Dennis, that banned any disenfranchisement in voting based on color, race, or previous servitude, i.e. former slaves. The problem with proving that is that the court precedent is that you have to prove intent. You have to prove that they intentionally did it, not just that it had that effect. And what this federal judge, Judge James D. Peterson, found was is that there was an intentional effort by the Republican legislature and Governor Walker to disenfranchise African-American and Latino voters in Milwaukee and in the early voting restrictions, that was their motivation, that they were motivated by the large numbers that were standing in line after hours and successfully voting. And so the judge found this to be a deliberate racial discrimination and a violation of the 15th Amendment.
All right, let me jump in right there.
Very important.
It's indeed very important. Let me just jump in and tell people you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking with Robert Craig. He is with Citizen Action of Wisconsin. They, or subgroup, are supporters of this court case. They joined in as a part of this court case to reverse these draconian decisions, these rulings by the legislature of Wisconsin, to really, according to the judge, take a number of actions that were on their very face racist. So what exactly takes effect in terms of the judge's ruling? What happens?
Yeah, it doesn't impact that we have a primary in August next week, so it's too fast for that. So this is going to impact the November election, though the Republican Attorney General is appealing. Most people don't think he can win an appeal from at the next level of the federal judiciary in time, certainly, to try to block this. In fact, he might lose on the merits of the case. But what happens right away is, and this will affect, like, as your listeners know, Wisconsin's one of the states that decides the presidential election. And so this is why the Republicans and Governor Walker want to do this. So it immediately opens up early voting. So City of Milwaukee, for example, will be able to have early voting at night on weekends. And we'll be able to do it up until the day before the election. And we'll be able to do it at multiple locations. So this will help a lot of hard-pressed people who may not be able to vote on election day, if that's the only day they can vote, to vote by giving them a couple weeks to vote early. So that's going to happen. The residency rules are changed. So what's going to happen is you only have to prove you live somewhere for 10 days instead of 28 days, and that helps college students a lot. And of course, they want to disenfranchise them because they tend more to be Democratic voters. It also allows you to lose dorm lists to prove residency. They put in this bizarre restriction that said the dorm lists had to prove citizenship in the United States, so they weren't valid for proving that you were resided in the municipality and in the state of Wisconsin, which is absurd. And it's not a standard held by other forms of identification. So those are two big changes. On photo ID itself, it actually throws out the whole process, said it's unconstitutional for people achieving and finding a photo ID and getting one if they don't have one and they don't have the proper documents. But what it's going to do is, rather than impose its own solution, an earlier federal decision 2 weeks ago by another federal judge, Judge Adelman, had ruled that the system for photo ID was so unfair and so unconstitutional that anyone should be able to just sign an affidavit at the polling place saying, I am who I am, and they should be able to vote. And so that will be the rule on election day. So with the other ruling combined with this, photo ID is not going to be a restriction on anyone who doesn't have one who wants to vote, and there's going to be early voting, especially in the larger cities in Wisconsin, and there are going to be residency requirements that more people can meet and prove, and so it will increase voter turnout dramatically, which is the opposite, of course, of what the Republicans in the legislature and Governor Walker wanted. What's beginning to happen in these court cases, the two in Wisconsin, Texas, North Carolina, on photo ID, is judges are beginning to hone in on the motives for all these voting restrictions, photo IDs, and the other ones I've explained, and maybe to hone in on the idea that there really is, we have a party right now, the Republican Party, that is trying to win elections by lowering voting, by disenfranchising people, and really looking closely at these fraudulent claims that there's a lot of voter fraud. There's been no proven identity theft voter fraud in Wisconsin, which is the only thing that you need a photo ID for. It's clearly designed to make it harder to vote for certain groups, minorities, young people, etc. But there really does seem to be a growing number of courts that are finding this to be discriminatory, unconstitutional, or really honing in on the motives. And what's interesting is, I mean, I told you the standard's very high. For this judge to say emphatically that the Republicans in Wisconsin intentionally disenfranchised African-American Latinos for political advantage and violate the 15th Amendment is a very bold and stunning claim by a federal judge. And it, if you read the decision, it's a 119-page decision. It's very well reasoned. And there are a number of other things we brought up, which he did not rule in our favor on because he was so careful and he followed the law so closely. But nonetheless, Governor Walker, the Attorney General, and the House Majority Leader here, who's a right-wing Republican, all immediately said it was a liberal judge. And he's just rewriting the law and intervening. And I'm sure they never even read the decision. They just don't care. They just want to use their power to impose these restrictions on voters across Wisconsin.
What was the, it must have been a pretty interesting grassroots battle to bring this to the court. I imagine you had a lot of grassroots support in order to pull this together.
Yeah, and there have been a number of other cases. So there, but as I said, they were all on photo ID only. This case was unique in that we looked at all the restrictions, and we also actually went after the partisan intent. In other words, rather than just trying to, the technical issues around photo ID, provided evidence that from former Republican staffers that the motive of the legislators was to win elections and nothing else. And in fact, evidence was brought to bear, and it's in the decision, that the Republicans who put forward the bill and voted for it were appalled that they saw when they saw pictures of long lines of African-American Latino people in Milwaukee voting early after hours. And so they literally were trying to rein that in. One of the key parts of the case are, and you mentioned when you talked about the plaintiffs, our community organizer, Anita Johnson, works full-time on trying to get people their photo IDs and make sure they're not disenfranchised. And she works in the African-American community primarily. She found a lot of evidence, examples of particular people who were born in the South, who were birthed by midwives. It was in Jim Crow era, and they didn't have regular birth certificates but the right information, and they were disenfranchised, and they could not get photo IDs. And those witnesses and that evidence was actually crucial in winning this case. And so it was a lot of organizing and finding actual people that were actually disenfranchised by these Republican policies.
So it was really a very active right-wing policy, an attempt to really drain the voter rolls of African-Americans, of progressives, but mostly on the poor side of the scale. This was focused on them.
Absolutely, because they thought it would give them a competitive advantage. And I would just say that we know that elections are hardcore, that both parties and candidates fight really hard the way we do in American athletics, right, to try to win elections. But there are some things that ought to be out of bounds. And one of them ought to be denying people the right to vote as a strategy for winning elections is an un-American thing to do and ought to be absolutely beyond the pale. And I'm really hopeful now that with these court decisions that we're finally going to see the courts really intervene and roll this back, because there's not much more fundamental in American democracy than the idea that everyone has a right to vote, one person, one vote. And so it's taken a while. A lot of people were disenfranchised for too long, but it really seems like courts are finally beginning to really dig into this and really look at the implications for a very fundamental American right.
It's very interesting. Scott Walker, has had a couple of brutal hits. Didn't do very well in the presidential primaries, and he's taken some hits here. Here's another one that stands against the extreme right-wing policies that were supposed to be in the vision of one person's vision of the new American president, the model. Now, Donald Trump is saying today, he's claiming to be the victim of a potential vote steal. Do you compare and contrast, please?
It's hard to. Do you know what's the mechanism he's claiming? I said, I have not heard the news.
All right. Well, it's just interesting to think about. How this game is going to be played, and would Scott Walker ever turn an election against a Republican? Maybe in this year he might. Who knows?
Well, It depends what the Koch brothers want him to do. He's one of their people.
Right. He's a pocket animal of the Koch. I know. All right. This is an incredible victory. There's all kinds of stuff is going to come up around this. And this battle in terms of voter rights is huge, as we say, in 2016. And this is really a significant victory for people who believe that everybody should have the unfettered right to vote. So we thank you for your good work.
Thank you for covering it, Dennis. I agree with you.
All right. Take it easy now. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. I want to just talk to you for a moment. I want to let you know that I am now tweeting at Bernstick. It's Bern_stick. Bern_stick, you know, as in fire, stick on fire. Let's take a little musical break, and then in a few minutes we're going to come back and we're going to bring you some pretty interesting stuff about Edward Snowden in the new documentary Citizen 4. Stay with us.